This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Bingetown TV. I'm Kyle, and I'll be your host today, as both Brian and Kathleen, sadly, are on breaks this week. This unfortunately marks 2 weeks without Brian's voice, but don't worry, he'll be back next week. If you do miss their voices, be sure to check out our two other podcast series covering Starz hit show Spartacus and the new Netflix original Cursed. So today I'm joined by Luke and Jimmy, and we'll be discussing Season 7, Episode 11 of The 100, Etheria. So this week brings us another flashback episode, which finally answers the burning question of where in the universe is Bellamy Blake?
Yeah, this was a long anticipated episode. We finally get a reunion with Bellamy. So I guess that means we get what? 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Six full episodes of Bellamy. Hopefully it's enough for this not to leave a sour taste in my mouth. But we got some questionable actions towards the end. And it was a little standoff, one-off episode. But Jimmy, what did the people think about it?
Yeah, it's a very polarizing episode here. I mean, even just looking at the Twitter, the Reddit, everything, you know, it was either loved or hated. I mean, there wasn't really much in the middle, but for our Bingetown TV Twitter account, like always, we polled the audience and we had awesome episode, 25%. It was good, 39%, and did not like it, 36%. You know,
did not like it, gang.
Yeah.
I voted like, as most people do, immediately after the episode. Mm-hmm. And the ending just obviously left a sour taste in my mouth, so I just smashed that did not like it button.
Yeah, in a vacuum, this episode worked fine, minus the last 5 minutes of it. Like, the actual Etheria part of it was fine in a vacuum. But again, when you take it in context of Season 7, like, we only have five left, this should have happened a couple episodes ago, and I understand that this had to do with real-world issues and, like, you know, Bob Morley and whatever he had going on, but like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I hope we're not going the path of just like ruining Bellamy's character at the last season just because of whatever Bob Morley has going on, but the end didn't do it for me.
Yeah. If I'm being honest, I went like, technically I'm in the between of it was good and did not like it. I understand where the writers are coming from. If they decide that what they want to do for this end of the season is to have Bellamy brainwashed, whether it turns into he's brainwashed and then he gets fixed or put back on the right side, or he turns into some kind of villain, you know, we don't know. This episode makes sense in that way, where you have to have 20 minutes plus of him being on Etheria and why and how he got brainwashed, because otherwise we're not going to agree with it. We're not going to understand it.
Yeah.
We're not going to buy it, you know? Yeah.
If they shortchanged the explanation for why he's acting the way he is at the end of the episode,
it would have been worse. Yeah. We'll dissect that mindset at the very end.
We'll get into all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I don't want to jump too far ahead yet.
Yeah. So beginning of the episode, we open up in the MCAP room. We're introduced to a new disciple named Shauna, who's, I guess, fitting up this other random disciple, random with air quotes, into the machine. Levitt, our boy, beautiful but yet bruised Levitt,
friend of the podcast,
comes in and starts speaking with Shauna, and she's pissed that no one's really been punished for Anders' death and that one crew's even just chilling in Shepherd's quarters. And Levitt kind of just says it doesn't matter because they are the key. Well, Clark is the key, but they have the key.
I noticed two things right away in the scene. It was cool that they at least acknowledged the fact that the machine was acting, you know, they were saying like the MCAP was a little glitchy because of Echo murdering someone with it.
Yeah.
But apparently the MCAP is good, and that's kind of expected. And another thing I noticed right away is Levitt was kind of just like pissed.
Yeah.
Which was cool, because like, I thought he was just going to be like, all right, like, you know, Octavia's the only thing he really cared about, but he's rightfully pissed. He's got stitches going like all down his face. He's like, get the hell out of here. Like, we're doing this, you know?
Yeah. And it's funny because I heard a lot, or I guess I read a lot online, that people were pissed that the guy you're saying, the random quotes, disciple, is the guy who was there when Bellamy, quote unquote, again, got blown up. People were saying, why the hell is he being put under this 3 months later if they're saying he has PTSD? But they said straight up, Echo screwed up the machine, man. Like, they had to get it fixed, and she says it's finally fixed and it's a little glitchy. So I don't understand why people were making that a huge deal.
Yeah. No, I was fine with that. Yeah. But yeah, so anyway, we do find out that basically our heroes are getting the hero treatment, and they're just in Bill's quarters because they still are under the impression that Clark has the key in her head. I don't think we get much else before Levitt actually starts activating the system.
Yeah. Well, he's like shocked. He does the whole like, imagine you're in a desert alone.
Yeah.
There's an insect.
Yeah.
And then immediately the guy latches into the system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they replay the memory of Bellamy's, once again, quote unquote, death scene.
Right.
And it's so obvious the first time that he gets bumped into the anomaly.
Oh, yeah. Dude, then like everyone Levitt has to like, knew that.
He has to like slow-mo it back. Yeah. And then it's like just the explosion.
Yeah.
And he's looking at that.
Like,
and then he goes,
let me hand feed this to you.
But like, this actually, like, it took me a second to realize, but this actually is how we're going to get to Etheria and stuff, like how Bellamy gets pushed there. It's actually awesome that Anders he wasn't gullible enough to put in the Sanctum code, because it's like kind of a throwback because it happened so many episodes ago. But the whole purpose of the scene before Bellamy dies is he's telling Anders, put like the Sanctum code back in. I'm going to go back there. That's why he's holding the conductor at gunpoint. We're going to call the other disciple the conductor for this episode. I know his name is Duchette or something like that, but douchebag. I don't know. Whatever. So we're going to call him the conductor, but so at least, you know, putting some respect on Anders' character for not being an idiot and actually sending Bellamy back to his people.
That's
so
a nice catch.
Yeah. And we kind of thought that.
Yeah.
Like, we definitely aired that out in the podcast.
And then we get the all important quote from Levitt that we saw in the preview. He's alive.
He is alive. Let's get it.
And Levitt probably feels just like we feel. We're like, oh my God.
Yeah. Does he at this point?
I mean, nah, I don't. I mean, to be honest, I don't know.
Yeah.
He might be sick of their shit.
Yeah. He's probably like, oh my God, man. One more person for them to act selfish for.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. When we get that first like transitional scene from Levitt into Etheria where Bellamy's kind of stumbling right after he gets pushed through the anomaly, I had straight chills. I don't care what was going on in real life. I still love this fucking character at this point.
It was really good to get like a legitimate like first scene with him. Like, he just kind of,
and again, like
more than 10 seconds.
And no matter, again, like you're saying, no matter what the deal is with, if we agree with the story arc, he did great as Bellamy again. Like,
oh my God. Yeah.
You love Bellamy.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, he's a great actor.
Yeah.
He's so likable because of just like what he's been through. He had his peaks and valleys just like everybody else, like, you know, like the Pike season he was garbage.
A turnaround.
Like, he after season 3, like, he's always been up, like, he's been amazing. I love Bellamy, and it's just like I felt deprived of him this season, so it's cool that we, you know, this is the first real time we get to see
He's really become like the moral bedrock of the whole group.
Yeah,
because he, like, I feel like he doesn't make that many like
since Pike.
Like Clark, like decisions.
Well, that's the joke. That's the head in the heart thing. Like, you know, I guess her version of it is like, I use my head, you use your heart. But I mean, you know,
I guess you could argue either way.
Yeah, I guess you could kind of say that backwards if you want.
So Bellamy is popped through the anomaly, the bridge, the stone, however you want to call it. And he's obviously disoriented, but then notices, or basically the conductor is behind him. Technically, we get the opening credit scene. And then we come back to them engaging in some fisticuffs. And Bellamy ends up basically breaking his leg.
Good fight scene.
Yeah, and is about to kill him with a rock and decides against it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, of course he's going to show mercy. He's not like cold-blooded killer. Like, he's not just going to end this dude's life. He already, you know,
he was feeling it, though.
He knocked him
out,
and he can't walk anymore, so there's no need. I like that. And then we just kind of go right into him exploring the area, right?
Yeah.
So he's walking around. He sees, I think you get like a quick view of like the tip top of the mountain with some green lighting. So you obviously, the audience knows that Bellamy knows that that's pretty much the ultimate goal, is to get to the top of that mountain, to go back through the stone.
And this is similar to, I just cut you off a little bit, but like how when you take the stone, when you enter the anomaly from Sanctum, you come in the bottom of the lake on Beta. But then when you take the stone,
so
it's different.
So the deal is, I mean, look, we're talking about this before. We're assuming that there's like an anomaly on all the planets, and then yeah. there's a stone on all the planets. Okay, yeah. So, like, it is because when you go through the anomaly on Sanctum, you come up in the lake, right?
Yeah.
Even the stone, too, or just the anomaly?
We've only seen the stone be used stone to Bardo, right?
Sanctum stone to Bardo. Have we ever seen someone use the stone from Sanctum to Beta?
I don't believe so.
No, and all we know is that I don't think so, and we know Bardo to Beta, they just show up, like, through the woods, so yeah. we don't know how they came in.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to get at is that, you know, on Etheria, there's the anomaly at the top of the mountain, and then there's a stone separately. So there's two ways out. But the anomaly, when you go into it, if it's not the stone, it's random. You don't have any control.
And that makes sense, because, like, anytime someone's using the stone and going to Bardo, it's they're popping up in the
you automatically shit your pants.
They're popping yeah. up in the
They don't
the
need
stone
the helmets,
room,
they need a diaper.
Right? If you use the stone going to Bardo,
yes,
you pop up in the stone room.
Right.
And we know for a fact that's not what happened when they went to Etheria.
Yeah.
Because right. the stone is the opposite
right.
part of the area. So I don't think we're ever gonna get more yeah, clarification. No, it's kind of yeah. just assume.
Yeah.
And I think we have it, you know, yeah. like there's either nothing way, really more to it. Than
they
that.
Pop out on some nice scenery.
Yeah.
And then they do. Now really Bellamy is taking a hike, basically. He encounters basically just like a vertical wall that he obviously alone is unable to get over. Basically a dead end that he reaches. So he returns to where the fisticuffs were laid down. The unconscious disciple is now gone, only traces of blood. And he actually encounters him now, I guess I wrote quote unquote resting in a cave, but he's basically clocked in yeah. this cave.
Now this is like one of my first problems with this whole thing is why, okay, Bellamy had a gun to this conductor's head literally right before this,
ugh,
saying what the hell's going on.
Where's the gun?
Yeah, well, that's one thing. I wasn't even going to do that, ugh, but that could,
so
I'm going to just go, I'm going to go with that could have went flying the other way or something. But what I'm wondering is why the hell isn't he beating the shit out of this conductor saying, what the hell's going on? Where's Octavia? Why is she a disciple? Why, you know, why does she look like you guys? You know, how do I get back to my friends? What the hell, you know, any of that. But instead, he's just like, let me help you, man.
Well,
like,
I think he at least knows the deal with the anomaly and, like, the importance of him having to get, like, he knows he's on a different planet from everybody else. So I don't, like, while that does come up in conversation when the dude's passed out and he's just talking to himself, he's talking about the loved ones. I think, like, what is that going to do for him? What is that information going to do for him right now?
I mean, I feel like if he's obsessed with his friends, he would want answers. And that guy should have them.
I'm sure you could just fill in the blank of what yeah. they talked I mean, about like, in their months and stuff.
I guess he kind of like kindly tries to like arouse him awake.
And also, yeah, do like, we know what level this guy, did we look at a, I don't even think I stopped and I mean, looked at what level he was on his face.
I'm assuming he's higher, but
the conductor seems yeah. like a somewhat important position.
The only reason I'm bringing that up is because maybe he simply just doesn't know much about like what was going on in the MCAP room. If he wasn't a high enough level, he wouldn't have been informed, you know, yeah. like maybe he doesn't yeah. know much because he was just a random guard in the stone room. And then, I mean, he could have been.
He's a conductor, bro.
He's the
yeah.
conductor.
Yeah, give him, put some respect on that title. Man, so Bellamy rouses him awake. The conductor immediately starts choking him, to which Bellamy smartly just basically smacks him in the compound fracture on his leg.
Yeah.
And the dude freaks out. While they're fighting, the disciple keeps reciting, in the light of the shepherd, he saved us, blah, 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 blah. Bellamy basically, and eventually after the hit in the leg, he kind of calms him down and says to him, we need to work together if we're going to get off this planet.
Yeah, it was a convincing pitch to me. I mean, yeah. like the guy knew, I mean, the conductor knew enough to be like, okay, he's kind of right. And also I can't walk, so there's nothing I can do here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was kind of at Bellamy's
yeah,
will.
It's either I agree with this guy or he basically kills me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Bellamy, the kind soul that he's become, begins applying first aid to the disciple's leg, and now we're kind of got like a nice little healing and bro bonding montage for the next couple scenes.
Mm. Yeah, the beginning of like the first sign of any sort of trust between the two. And then this is, I think this is the scene where he also brings in like that egg
yeah.
of food and stuff.
Mm. With the
boil of water.
I was yeah. shocked that didn't come up. Like when he was yeah. saying, we don't want to stick around to know what comes out of this egg.
3 months
to.
Or more.
I was very shocked that they didn't and we see.
I mean, yeah. I guess they get altitude quickly. Are yeah. those things going to be living at that high of altitude?
I thought it was like a bird. So yeah. I literally yeah. thought the Cave of Ascent was going to be like a animal was going to be in there.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know,
all right.
Misread that.
Well, we got a nice Pike mention.
Yep. I live tweeted that.
Yeah, and I just like whenever they say Earth skills. I just think it's funny.
Yeah.
That was the second Pike mention of the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
So Pike, the all-knowing Earth skills instructor, basically taught them that pine sap can make antiseptic, fight infections, and heal wounds. Obviously, it's something is fucking going on this planet also because his wound heals super fast.
Yeah.
It cannot just be the
pine sap.
That's
important. Yeah, that's important to know because, like, I was saying, like, because the next scene, he's like, oh, it's only been a week. You're already, like, walking on it. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
They dropped, like, two, basically, time, like, markers for us and the week that he healed and then the 3 months that they're in the cave.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it almost could have been the opposite.
I could buy totally that the sap was foreign, you know, extraterrestrial. That's fine. That can have healing properties.
And this is actually where Bellamy mentions what you had said earlier about, like, the irony of the situation where he is looking for the ones that he love are, like, within reach, basically, just through the stone, but he needs to basically work with the disciple to get them back.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the scene where Bellamy, like, throughout this first cave scene, we get where Bellamy starts, I think he passed out, right, after he started applying the wound and stuff. The conductor passed out after he started, like, you know, helping him heal and stuff. And this is when he, like, kind of feels him up and gets the shepherd's passage, which is
the first time he feels him up.
I mean, he kicks the shit out of him.
Yeah, that shepherd's passage is the Bardo equivalent, the shepherd's equivalent of the Bible. So
conveniently sitting there for him.
Yeah, I mean, he was a pretty faithful guy.
Yeah, this guy's pretty devout, so I wouldn't be shocked if he's carrying
me. They had it on him.
Bellamy has a nice, well, he says, you know, pocket propaganda to a false god,
mm-hmm.
which is the Bellamy we want, which unfortunately isn't the Bellamy we get.
But... doesn't last long.
Yeah.
I think then, you know, after Bellamy gets through the whole book, the disciple wakes up. That was when he gave himself that little pep talk, right? Like, Bellamy, he's like talking to himself, Bellamy Blake, like, the irony of the situation.
Oh, okay,
whatever.
I had it in the opposite order, but it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter.
So next we get Bellamy finally makes a splint for him, which is what the conductor wanted in the beginning. But Bellamy was like, dude, we got to put that shit back in place. Yeah. And then Bellamy hits him with the line that we get again with what? They don't say thank you where you're from,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was good. And it's obviously nice that they kind of call back to it a little later. Bellamy then begins getting into him about the shepherd's passage, saying that he read the entire book, which is, I mean, I guess he has nothing else to do, but saying he read it, it doesn't add up. He basically has the same viewpoint that Jordan had last episode that the shepherd's peace that he's looking for in transcendence is the result of the war, and that doesn't make any sense,
right?
Which we all kind of agree with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I like this part too, also because the disciple or the conductor starts like clapping back basically about the earthlings, which is, I say earthlings because it's exactly akin to Anders' perspective on them, basically saying, like, you know, you guys are fucking animals, like, you're you know, they're a different kind of human,
right?
Part of the race, so. I like that whole exchange, and it just shows you Bellamy's stance, which is important, Jimmy, for what we're gonna get into at the end, of just how stubborn and against the teachings of the shepherd Bellamy is in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and that's what this whole scene was, you know, showing his first introduction to their actual scripture.
Right.
They're very argumentative.
Yeah, of course, exactly as we would expect from Bellamy.
Oh, yeah. And it just so happens that this scripture is his journey. It's written in a version of his journey through Etheria when he climbed it.
Yeah.
So, like, they're literally going through the book in each part.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a coincidence?
I would say so.
So, the last, basically, argument they have is that Bellamy explains to him, to the conductor, that there's no higher power that helped him. Literally, Bellamy is the reason why he's alive right now. And then the conductor fires back with, it's always all about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, then a week passes. The conductor can now carry weight on his own leg, albeit a little gingerly, and then they return to the vertical wall where Bellamy couldn't get over by himself.
And let me just say, I love Bellamy's walking stick, which doesn't he doesn't even keep it anymore. And they also just look great in it. Literally looks like they're wildlings from Game of Thrones, like with their outfit. I was like, yo, that's pretty cool. They look like they could have been Ygritte's, like, you know, like they could have been with them. It's cool.
They have like I don't know if it's both of them, but Bellamy has like the pattern on his hood that just looks like it, like, wicks moisture away. It's just, like, super, like, high-tech. Obviously, it's not, but...
So, I think the next part of it is the trust climb.
Yes. Well, this is the thing, and I guess... I don't need to get into it yet, but, you know, this is the first... Besides the book being there for them to read and having that talk, this is the first piece of the journey, and almost every single big scene of the journey has some kind of have-faith situation. So Bellamy's going to take the climb, and he says, the order is, I'll jump up on your shoulders and then I'll pull you up. And
he doesn't trust him.
And the conductor says, my leg's too weak, my arms are stronger, so let's flip that around. And Bellamy obviously gives him the look for a second, thinking, all right, is he going to sandbag me?
But he's making valid points here with that leg.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, there's right. No way.
So, you know, what happens is they get up, the conductor gets up, and there's that pause.
Duh. You know? Just dramatic directorial tension.
And that's it. So then the rope comes down, and the conductor says, jokingly, you got to have some faith.
Yeah. Acting like it wasn't, you know, like an unnatural amount of time that he waited.
But that's
But
that's what I want to get into. Like, I just honestly think everything's a setup. You know? Okay.
And this is, you're saying this is not the first clue. This is the second clue.
So this is one of the first big things where he's saying you need to have faith. So like he gives Bellamy that little like, oh, is he going to come back? Did I just get sandbagged? And then, oh, you got to have faith, man. I got you. Don't worry.
Subtle brainwashing.
Exactly.
Subtle propaganda.
Right. Yeah. Manipulation.
Yeah. These motherfuckers, man.
But as soon as they get up to the top, right, this is when they look around and see the mountaintop again, right? And they see like the anomaly stone and they start having the conversation. Bellamy's fucking chewing on some leaves or whatever. And he's just like, it would have been nice if we had like all the climbing gear like your shepherd had and stuff like that. And the reason I want to talk about this for a second is now I think this is really the first mention of like we knew from story that Bill had gone to Etheria just because that's what they were talking about in the classroom like 5 episodes ago in Welcome to Bardo. But this actually validates Bill, I think, at 1 or 2 episodes ago when he said that when he was talking with Gabriel saying like he learned a lot through the centuries. So this is the first like sign that he was probably awake for a certain amount of time to be able to go through Etheria. So like we have to assume that when Bill took everyone from Earth, like he didn't just go into cryo and just chill forever. Like there was some time where he was walking around getting his bearings and actually learning stuff. Yeah. So I like that line. So like, I like this whole thing.
I think the one problem that we have is the natural aging process of the actor because we get into season three when we see Bill on our nice iPad. And then how much later is technically so Jaha's showing the iPad that you know, presentation or whatever that he's giving. Mm-hmm. How much later do the bombs come? Do we even know that? The point I'm trying to make is that he's young and he is supposed to be young in the bunker. And then when they go to Bardo, younger, you know what I mean? Not as old as he is now.
Yeah, because it says that he's been working on the stone for a while.
Yeah.
In the backdoor pilot.
Yeah. And then he goes, and I think it is supposed to be assumed that he spends some time there before he goes to sleep.
Absolutely. Yeah. He had to establish the structure of the Bardo Society, you know, put it in place basically to plant the seeds for the shepherd religion. And then what I'm getting at is like, he could have, because what they talk about his trip on Etheria, it could still fall within like a year or less, which isn't much aging. So that works with some, you know, like him gaining knowledge of when he's saying like, I've learned things through the centuries. So,
yeah. I mean, what I was
okay with that.
What I was trying to say, I guess, is that I feel like if they had it their way, he wouldn't look older. Like he would look a little bit younger still.
Mm, okay.
I don't know if that, I mean, not necessarily real young, but maybe not too much different than he did in that YouTube video.
Okay. I mean, cryo, you're just basically frozen in time, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well,
and then hold on. The last part about this is when they're having that conversation, I think, is when the conductor tells Bellamy that on Etheria, this is where Bill basically found the remnants of a civilization that truly ascended, which is the equivalent of going through Judgment Day and actually passing it.
That's a good point.
And I, at that point, when I was watching, I was like, that's pretty dope. It's pretty epic just to say those things.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially because at the time, you're supposed to think, like, whatever, that's gospel scripture. You're not supposed to believe it yet. But that's still really cool.
I had lost that train of thought while we were talking about it. But I don't know if it's here or a little later than the conductor says, like, he had to explore the universe.
I think that was right here.
Yeah, because I guess it has to do with the climbing gear comment, which makes sense.
Yeah.
That Bill kind of took it upon himself to, like, explore through the anomaly and through the stone, the bridge, blah, blah, blah.
Of course, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if you're going to be the god, you
might
as well walk
the
walk.
By yourself, man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If he guessed wrong and went to penance, he would have just freaking aged, like, you know, whatever.
That's so funny. so we're still hiking after this. They encounter a snowstorm.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. Still arguing, obviously. The conductor suggests that they need to find shelter and turn back, while Bellamy obviously is on the opposite side of this, and he's pretty impatient, just says we need to keep going because once we get past the clouds, there won't be a storm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's just adamant on making fun of the religion, basically, still. He seems like he's just, anytime the shepherd's talked about, he's just like, shut up, man.
Yeah.
And he even says that, like, when they go to split ways, he's like, well, if I'm going to die because the conductor's telling him you're going to die if we don't go find some shelter, he's like, well, at least I won't have to hear about the shepherd anyway anymore. And that's when they split. And the conductor goes to find the actual cape of ascent.
I mean, I would have been on Bellamy's team here with the line of, like, at least I don't have to hear about the shepherd.
Yeah, 100%.
Because, like, at that point, I'm like, fuck this guy.
I mean, he's literally, that's all he's talking about, you know?
Yeah, and Bellamy has the knowledge of the YouTube video where he's like, the shepherd's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are all...
I mean, not yet. Not yet. In the cave, he realizes...
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So the conductor is basically just trying to follow in the exact footprints of Bill,
mm-hmm.
like using the scripture, saying like, this is the point, this is the part of the story where we go find shelter. And then so when Bellamy rejects that and he goes off, the point I wanted to bring up was he is saying the line, the famous Bellamy line, all the way back from season one, mm-hmm. and even earlier this season we've talked about it a couple times, I'm not afraid.
Yep.
Like, he just keeps saying it over and over himself, because that's just like something that was something he tried to instill in Octavia on the arc all the way back in season one. It's just like kind of a theme for him.
Yeah, and that was what Octavia was saying under the MCAP.
Yep.
This season. I mean, I live tweeted that. I thought
I was just
going to
say our boy Jimmy killing it on socials obviously mm-hmm. mentioned that.
Binchtown TV at Twitter.
So Bellamy's plan obviously fails. He basically stumbles, falls. He crawls for a little bit, so I guess kudos to him at that point. And then falls unconscious. The conductor finds him, which I guess it's the next morning because it's kind of light out. And then drags him to safety into a cave, which Bellamy's right there. He is right next to the cave. Isn't
yeah, I think, I don't know. I think,
I mean, it's,
oh yeah. I'm just saying, I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it was dark and it's a snowstorm, but it's just funny that he was right there.
This is the part where I wrote down in my notes, I thought that this was the animal's cave. Like, I was like, this is going to be something like a big ass bird is going to be in there or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting what comes.
We've quickly find out that this is the shepherd's previous stop. Like, this is exactly what was described in the scripture. This is where he posted up for a couple months to wait out the snowstorm. And then Bellamy quickly finds the picture, the family picture with Callie, Reese, himself, and I don't remember the mom's name.
The Cadigans, baby.
The Cadigans, man. I love that, but my first thought was there's no fucking way Bill would have left that picture.
Well, so that's the thing. I thought that was smart because Bill's whole thing now is you don't love people anymore. You love the collective. So he's like leaving his family behind.
So you think he made that personality shift there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
in those three months,
like we're trying to say Bellamy apparently did.
Yeah. That's him burning the ships.
Yeah. So
interesting. That's a very good point.
You sold me on that. That's cool.
Yeah. All right.
That's
cool.
I love looking at Bill through like the eyes of an actual, I know he's not like holy in any way or chosen in any way, but like, it's fun to look at it through that way, because that explains a lot of his actions, and like, it's just kind of epic to think about how like the Bible would have reflected Jesus, whatever, but how the scripture is reflecting Bill's story in like a loose way.
Oh yeah,
it's pretty cool.
And
to
then
just
through
think
the
about.
Ages, I mean, that story just will get distorted and be even grander,
exactly,
and larger.
Yeah. Exactly, and it has been through the ages.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
been so much time.
Bare hand, bare knuckle boxing these birds and these eggs, just fighting them for the cave.
Yeah.
So obviously they're alone in the cave. They need some sort of warmth. The conductor starts making a fire, and immediately Bellamy's like, oh, like, that was quick. Nice earth skills. I just had to mention the earth skills because I like it. But they quickly notice that there is no fire. So Bellamy turns around. There's some light and warmth coming from a crack in the cave.
Mm-hmm.
So the two of them go and explore what that is. And we find out that there are three glowing figures of energy. At which point the conductor basically realizes where they are and name drops the Cave of Ascent. And this was pretty insane.
Is this pre or post commercial?
Oh man, I don't know.
Because I was just wondering what you were saying, because like they do go right into it. He starts like the Cave of Scent hit commercial, come back.
Okay, yeah.
And then the disciple just drops to his knees and basically starts just like praying, like having an orgasm over there.
Yeah, he really does. He but I mean, shit, out. That's like the complete justification of his whole belief system to yeah. him is standing right in front of him.
Yeah. So if this isn't a setup, was like the best moment of that dude's entire life.
Yeah.
Like he was just like, not only am I being like repaid for my faith in the shepherd, like I'm seeing it like in front of me, and like I know we're gonna transcend eventually. Yeah. Like that's awesome.
Making the parallels to Christianity, like we just did, like this is like stumbling upon the cave where Jesus was
exactly.
after he resurrected.
Right.
And like
yeah. right.
with legitimate evidence that he was there, dead, and came back alive.
Yep.
Yeah. I think the best way to do this is to finish, keep going with our narrative, and then we'll see, and then either I will get into it or whatever, the actual points where I think this might be a setup
okay.
so that we can actually feel the whole thing first, and then I'll do quick bullets.
Okay. Yeah, let's finish. Because I agree with you. Like everything I'm seeing here, like there's so many pieces that it would be complicated
right.
to talk about.
Yeah,
so
I had a hard time breaking my notes into sections because mm-hmm. things were just kind of flowing and yeah. like small bullet points for one scene kind of fed into larger ones for
right. I felt the same way because most of the time it's just split up between Alpha or Bard.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
All right. So they obviously see the imprints of energy, as the conductor calls them, and then they go back to the main part of the cave. Days have passed. They've made a fire, but they're running out of food. The conductor tries to get him to eat some lichen.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce it, honestly.
The other thing that I think we missed was that when they see those energy people, whatever you want to say, the conductor like wants him to embrace them.
Oh yeah.
And he says no. I don't know if we got into that.
Yeah, he says yeah. you still doubt, even though like,
right.
in face of
right.
proof. And Bellamy just says no, this doesn't make any sense.
Right. Yeah, because I mean, I don't know if he says it yet or not, but but when he has his point about they're not technologically advanced enough to ascend, is that coming
that's,
up?
That's
coming
this
up
conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the conductor drops the line, "From the ashes we will rise," and that mm-hmm. Bellamy hears that and is like, "Whoa." And then he, like, can I see the picture of the Cadigans, basically. Then he notices Bill and is like, this guy's a fraud. He's a con man. Drops the Jaha YouTube video.
Yeah.
And is like, I know this guy. Like, I recognize him.
Yeah, it was fun to hear Bellamy just start instantly shitting on him and be like, yeah. he's a cult leader, man.
I'm
like,
pretty sure he called him a cocksmack.
You know what? I think he did.
Yeah.
I think he did. So now is when Bellamy argues that the beings in the cave couldn't possibly be technologically advanced enough to have ascended. And I read this quote down because I like it in the sense that it's contradictory to what they believe. And it's more in line with what we've been talking about, where he says that all we know is that transcendence is based off a civilization's core. And I wrote down that doesn't sound like a war with violence at all.
And this is weird because, like, how does this explain how this civilization even would have – I get the whole – like, the conductor does make the point to say, like, being pure is the main goal. Like, that's mm-hmm. how your species transcends. But, like, what the hell's the point of knowing the 7-digit code to the judgment day if that doesn't matter, really, if they did it without it? I don't know. I just thought that was kind of dumb to just write it in that way.
Do we know that? They didn't have the code.
Yeah, that's the whole point. They're saying like they didn't have the technology. How would they have known the judgment code? Like they just kind of
okay.
They could have been just some base species, is what it makes it sound to
yeah.
be. Because like even though I don't know, they just like I thought that was the point of the tech
yeah.
talk.
I guess I just assumed that they got the code and did it and went through the white light and called a W.
Now that I'm thinking about it, how would you even get the code without the key? Like without the flame ever?
Yeah,
I mean, well, the whole thing with. The key was that it heightens your senses
yeah.
so that you can hear the electromagnetic vibration. So maybe
and you're waiting for the silence.
Yeah, maybe that civilization, the species having lived on that planet, evolved differently. So they might have had, I don't know, maybe more sensitive ears.
And that, sure. and
I don't know. I
sensitive
mean,
ears or the technology, but Bellamy's saying they didn't.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
I don't know.
So just weird.
They obviously get into another philosophical argument about what their belief systems are. The conductor comes back at him once again with, you only fight for people you love. But yet you still have this hole in your heart, and that love isn't the problem. It's how you love. I have a greater purpose for all mankind.
And is that consistent with what Bill was telling Gabriel about love?
That was my question, because last episode we brought it up how Bill looks down on love
mm-hmm.
and how Shade Hater does as well, but kind of for different reasons.
And Bill looks down on it because it makes you make decisions that aren't good for the overall, right? Like that's his whole point.
Right.
So I guess that still works. And also you can just assume that how Bill taught the disciples about love didn't have to really align with what he was thinking in himself, because he's the leader, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if he loves everybody the same, then he doesn't need to put anyone ahead of any, like, you know, like say we're talking Clark and Bellamy head in the heart, right? Clark, not always, obviously we know from all the seasons, but a lot of the time the point of her saying she's the head is that she thinks with her brain and actually makes the decision that needs to be made. And Bellamy's the one who's like, nah, come on, we know we need to, you know, save this person or do this because he's got the heart.
Yeah.
You know, he loves, you know, he has the love. I mean, Clark obviously loves people too, but I feel like you can love everyone equally and still make the right decision. But as soon as you're saying like, I love you more, that's what they're getting at. Like, that's why he left his family picture.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know,
I mean, that's why Echo tries to commit genocide because she loves some people more than others.
Right.
I mean, you couldn't just commit genocide.
Okay. I'm okay with all that. It seems pretty consistent. Honestly.
Also for this part, when he says, I have a greater purpose for all mankind, it just like really reminded me of when they first send the 100 down, like with a greater purpose for all mankind.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
And they kind of basically the 100 get backstabbed because they were essentially lied to. And that kind of, I mean, a lot more happens that twists their worldview to like the way that they are, where it's kind of our squad survives and fuck everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought that was a little interesting thing that just kind of popped up in my head. And I was like, damn, that sounds similar. And then obviously, I mean, not obviously, but the conductor doesn't get through to Bellamy yet, still rejects kind of what he's preaching to him.
Yeah. And that takes us to our actual time skip.
Yes.
Which we don't have a specific timeline on it. All we know is Bellamy does, you know, after he cracks the bug, eats it, basically says like, we stopped counting after 2 months. How long have we been here? And then
fully bearded.
Yeah. Fully bearded. So much growth has happened here. And then like, you know, the conductor is like, who cares how long we've been here? And he's like in great spirits, like hasn't lost a single bit of energy, while Bellamy's over here struggling, like losing his mind a little bit.
And Bellamy's upset that he's so content while Bellamy's struggling.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And he responds with a very zealot-like answer of saying that my belief in the shepherd makes me light, while Bellamy's desire to reunite with his people weighs him down. Which I don't really get that.
Yeah, and at some point he says, your obsession with your sister and your friends, it's what drives the darkness that makes you suffer. Now, I'll get into that later.
I was going to say, I got nothing.
That's fine. That's just like, if you're taking that at face value, it's just like, you know, because of how Bellamy and all the earthlings think, they would all be in the same position. Like, this is, you have to let go of your desires, basically, your selfish desires.
I mean, that's the point of Second Dawn.
Yeah.
You know, of the disciples, like, get rid of all your desires, get rid of all that shit. And if this is a setup, then having that agenda be pounded into his head and given to him straight up in a quote like that over and over, it, you know, would make sense.
Yeah.
Especially with what follows, because that kind of is what gets him to break. And now they sit down and go through prayer and meditation.
Because the conductor claims he can basically show Bellamy what the shepherd believes in and like what he's all about. And what he says is like, he really believed in the bond that connected us all. So again, that's just emphasizing the fact that the shepherd prioritized the good of the species over any individual.
Yeah.
The connection between all of them was what is important to their religion.
Yeah. And that meditation is the same one that they're doing in the classroom when Hope's like, this is bullshit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good catch. Yeah. But it's, I mean, for Bellamy, it's the most efficient prayer and meditation
apparently
ever done. Yeah. Because now we're just clean shaven a little bit Bellamy. He's all cleaned up a little bit, different outfit,
looking good,
obviously, I guess, in his mind space or in his own mind's eye now.
Yeah.
I was confused.
One or the other, it's a vision or it's just all fake, and it's just like a,
if it's not
simulation,
fake, I don't want to say anything, it's too bad.
Yeah. I mean, we can crush through it a little bit, but so Bill pops up, tries to basically is guiding him through this meditation. They see like guns and swords, and Bill basically says that faith is the only weapon you need. They roll into the Cave of Ascent, and the Blake's mom is there.
Aurora Blake, yep.
Yeah, which I thought was...
I
was just blindsided by this completely.
7 years, they got her back, baby.
Yeah,
I
mean,
busy.
And I guess it worked, because Bellamy was also blindsided.
Yeah, no, I love that how consistent The 100 is at bringing back actors that haven't been on the show in so long. And it's just like such a good throwback, especially in the final season.
I mean, I guess 3 years isn't that big, or 4 years, but I'm still kind of mind blown that if they decided that season 7 was going to be a Bill Cadigan thing, that they're like, hey, man, don't be busy in 4 years.
Yeah, true.
Like, be here for us because we need you, and we're just going to use you for a YouTube video
and
right
don't
now.
Don't ruin your face.
Yeah, right.
Don't get any rant. Actually, because they could have played off the face guards or anything.
Yeah, but
that's a good point. I would like to ask him that, or anyone.
We'll get him on the pod.
Yeah, true.
I would love to talk to Mr. Bill.
Yeah.
Call me Bill.
Yeah, call me Bill.
Call me Bill. Yeah, so, I mean, having 7 years later, that was pretty cool, seeing Bellamy's mom.
And that was just meant to basically shake Bellamy's belief, mm-hmm. and actually, like, start making him – he's seeing past the transcendent species, which he doesn't even really know what he's looking at when he's looking at that.
Yeah.
But when he sees a vision with Bill, who he now knows is the leader, is the shepherd, and then his mom right after, like, he starts crying a little bit and then flashes out of the vision, and we see the storm cleared right away.
Yeah. She says to him, go to the light.
Yeah, that's
the light
the other
is
thing.
The way.
So – I was reading, and I kind of assumed that he saw another vision after he touches the light, before he wakes back up.
But they skip it. They off screen.
But they don't show us. Or it's just he touched the light, he wakes up, and the storm's gone. I don't know which way it is. But he finally touches it when he wasn't going to, when the conductor told him to, is the point.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I don't think that it's an immediate, like, he's in the vision, touches the light, and then he just, like, comes to, and they're outside. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That, like, they were just tripping balls basically and just kind of came to outside again. So they wander outside. The storm has passed. The conductor makes a comment that the first time you choose to pray and the storm is broke, it means we're worthy, both of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that could play a little more into your little brainwashing point, where he's kind of saying, now we're in this together, we're having faith together, things are working together. The one question I had was, so this is the back of the cave, because this is not the way they came in.
Right.
So I'm saying that praying to the shepherd is implied to have worked, but Bill isn't a god. So how the hell is he in Bellamy's head like that?
I'll get into this part real quick. So the major problem that I have with this vision is that Bill is there. Okay. If Bill's not there and he sees his mom and talks to his mom, then maybe. But Bill is sitting there talking to him in his disciple uniform that Bellamy's never seen him in before, you know, and he's, like, guiding him, again, through the vision. It is just so obvious to me that it's just like when they put their simulation gear on the guy's head and just adds them to the simulation. Like when they're doing sitting there with Hope and Echo.
Okay.
You just put the headset on and boom, there's the person showing up. You know, I can't really explain that the whole thing's a simulation.
And just to keep the listeners informed of what the people are talking about, of what could explain this, outside of it being a planned simulation, which we're going to talk about later in detail, some people are saying that basically, like, the bug that he eats in the first scene in the beginning before he starts tripping is what causes him to trip.
I'm on and team another, psychedelic bug.
Yeah, that's fine. And then another one is the conductor, like, when he pulls him over to the fire, like, if he had some sort of chemical put in there that could also,
like,
induce
and
tripping.
They're saying it's like the red toxin from Sanctum, kind
exactly,
of. Like,
when it makes you a little weirdly lucid and all that stuff.
He's the conductor because he drives the trip.
Dude, he's
he gets the trip going and the brainwashing going along. Yes. I like
Let's
that.
It's like ayahuasca, you know?
Yeah,
like,
bro.
He's just guiding the whole trip.
I like it.
Let's go to Mars, dude.
You ever do DMT, bro?
Joe Rogan. Right.
They have to take the neck. You want to keep talking
about
it?
I'm just saying the bug had a large stinger, so maybe it had some poison that was psychedelic, but I'm not into that.
I'm on team
psychedelic. Do you know how pissed
bug.
I would be if that little detail was that
like three episodes from now, they're just like, what about the bug?
I'm in. He comes back with a bag full of him. He's like, dude, you got to try this.
He's like, yo, we got those berries, those nuts from earlier in the show, and we got the bugs. Which one do you want,
dude,
bro?
The berry trip was hilarious, too.
So we move on to the next step of their journey, which is now climbing the vertical mountain face to the stone.
The anomaly stone. Yeah. Like at the top of the mountain.
They don't know the stone's there. They only are looking up to the green.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
good point. Yeah.
And so, it's important that they do emphasize that basically they have until nightfall or they're going to die. They're going to freeze. Mm-hmm. And at this point is where the conductor actually is saying, like, we can't do this. Like, we don't have enough time. And Bellamy is saying, like, have some faith. We're gonna make it.
He says, if we can't do it now, we won't be able to do it. The days are getting shorter.
Which totally is, like, if this is all, like, a plan to brainwash Bellamy, or if he's just casually getting brainwashed by what we're looking at, that's like the first real sign of it. Like after post vision, he's starting to use the verbiage of the disciples.
Yep. Yeah. At the same time, I mean, they've kind of had a little bit of, I guess they've had a playback, like a little back and forth playful now with quotes, right. But that could be part of the brainwashing, but also they've been through a lot at this point. And like Bellamy's kind of just like, come on, bro. Like, listen to me.
It's still in the right mindset of Bellamy, where he's like, we need to freaking get up there and get back to what we're doing.
You know? The conductor here does when Bellamy says, like, have some faith, like, the conductor gets hype.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the first time I was like, you know what? I don't care what story aside, like, I kind of like this guy. Like,
I don't mind him at all.
This is the first part where I kind of was I'm in for this character.
Again, like, whether we like the story or not, the conductor is very good too as an actor. Like,
yeah, he was great this whole episode.
I mean, we say it probably almost every episode, but they're just so good at bringing in these characters and making them, or making us rather, like them very early, very quickly.
Besides Trey, like, they're good at the side characters are usually good actors.
So our boys now, because they're boys now,
they're boys.
The homies start free climbing this mountain face. And I wrote down, how many mountains has Bellamy or this guy ever seen in their lives?
And I was saying too, like,
Mount Weather.
Yeah, that's the first one. They're I have no idea.
They're tied together, right? So when it matters at the very top and he pulls them up, that saves them. But otherwise, one guy falls, they're both dead. And I guess that's another have faith thing.
Yeah, I didn't think about that until you brought that up when we were watching. Like, I was like,
they're
you're
not
so
using
right.
any equipment. So they're just like climbing. And then one guy slips, then so does Bellamy.
Yeah, yeah.
Bellamy, I'd be like, untie that,
if bro. Bellamy wasn't on the cliff when he fell, they were both dead.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Have faith, bro. It's a simulation.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, true. Oh, I mean, it's like when the wildlings climb the wall with John.
Yeah, but they
have ice picks.
The point is that they have the ability to hold it. And John does, or is it John that falls? Whatever.
John falls, either way.
They hold him.
Fuck it.
Yeah. So this scene, I thought, like, okay, so we're skipping ahead to this, right? Like, so Bellamy gets up onto the mini cliff, which is in sight of the top, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when the conductor does the typical, you know, we knew this was coming. This is a fucking, it's a TV show. Like, someone was going to fall. Yeah.
When you're free climbing a mountain, someone's got to slip and say, you got to cut me loose.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I thought this scene, okay, so before I get to that point, so he falls, right? And he's thinking he's going to die. Whatever, he's actually the conductor's accepting his fate. He's like, just let me go, whatever. I slipped, and he tells Bellamy, I slipped the shepherd's book into your bag, and I wrote down the code on it. And mm-hmm. Bellamy's like, what do you mean? He's like, the code, put it into the anomaly, it'll get you back.
Right.
Basically, let me go. And then that's when I started having the feeling, I was like, I don't know if this dude's going to live or die. And that's just a kudos to the director and kudos to the writing, because I literally thought he was going to die. And I was like, I just didn't know. The tension of the scene was just really good.
They got you.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And he didn't have a purpose anymore after he said, I gave you the code.
Exactly. I just was like, that was good. I thought that scene was really
Except
well
for
done.
Being our boy.
Yes, yeah, Bellamy has faith, though, so...
Yeah, Bellamy starts having the faith. He starts saying the prayer, and the rope doesn't break, and he pulls up the conductor onto the little ledge. And basically that... to me signified, I was like, okay, he's going to be questionable to trust for, like, I'm going to be questionable about his trust in the actual squad.
Yeah.
Binge crew.
Bellamy at this point?
Oh, yeah.
Like, really?
Once that happened,
I'll tell you right now, I did not expect him to turn fully heel and tell Bill, which we'll get to. But I thought that he was, right when he's saying the prayer, I'm like, he's some kind
in.
Of brainwashed.
Yeah, I thought he was all in on
that's
the, good. On the shepherd.
I thought you were just talking about how he pulls him up. I'm like, that's classic, though.
Oh,
No.
Saying the prayer.
It's the prayer while doing it is what I meant. Like, he was literally, because it helped and it worked in his head. So he's thinking to himself, like, okay, the shepherd religion has some power.
I guess I was just convincing myself that he wasn't brainwashed. So I'm thinking he's doing it to comfort the conductor.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously gets down on his knees when he sees Bill and...
Fuck that.
Yeah.
We're not there yet, baby.
But I'm just saying, like, that's when I knew, too, you know?
Yeah. So they reach the summit. The conductor puts in the code for Bardo, and the bridge is at the top of the mountain and just passes them by and goes right to the bottom of the mountain, which I thought was
Conveniently, you got to take a leap of faith.
Yeah. Shit, man. You're convincing me with every word you say. So
wait
they
till I get to my bullet point.
So the conductor basically Ezio Auditore style, Assassin's Creed jumps right off that bitch backwards too.
Yeah.
So that's a fucking leap of faith. Yeah. And Bellamy is about to do it and actually says, "I am afraid."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was having straight anxiety of the scene because I didn't remember how long the bridge stays open after you type in the code. So I was like, bro, go.
Imagine? Can you imagine?
He jumps and he goes away.
And he's dead and that's the end of Bellamy's arc.
I would have Bellamy's a pancake on Etheria and that's it. Seven seasons.
Holy shit.
That's all, folks.
Arguably, when we get to the end of the series, that might have been better.
That would be crazy. So they basically pop through the bridge and end up on Bardo.
And they have a really touching hug, and it actually means something now because we got to see this little journey. I thought that hug had some weight when the conductor is hype that Bellamy had the faith to jump in and he's alive and they're both good and safe. So, like, I thought that was a cool, like, moment.
I'm dead serious when I say that they have a better love interest kind of, like, scene episode than I ever could trust with Bellamy and Echo.
Are you a Kellamy shipper? Is this the first ever recorded Kellamy shipper?
Kellamy? No, like, I'm not saying they're obviously, like, romantically involved, but what I'm saying is, like, they gave backstory to the conductor more so in a relationship way, whether it's platonic or not, than Echo and Bellamy.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
we got that one moment.
Mean, you gotta be kidding me, but... Yeah. Well,
I just feel I said it.
Me, that's so fucking good.
I said it last episode that the whole Raven and Echo relationship felt forced at this point, kind of too. When she says, like, "You're my sister" or whatever.
Dude.
And I was kind of like, I guess I get it, but we can have a little sidebar here
because I was talking to Luke before the podcast, like, doing my rewatch right now, like, with Echo and Octavia, it just makes this scene. The season with when Octavia hugs her and says, "You're my family now," and all this stuff, even more cheesy and awful, because there's just, where was there ever in their whole entire relationship in the whole show a time when they could have been anything but enemies?
Yeah.
Except Octavia now is just like, "Oh, well, you and Bellamy love each other, and I'm Annie O now, so I love you."
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of is that she spent all that time with
Hope
and Diosa.
Record in the preview episode of this season, all the way back, you know, I've been trying to not have Echo in Binge Crew.
It's true.
I've been always, like, against Echo, and I was surprised at how into Echo you guys were when we started this podcast, so I kind of just, like, let my emotions just go with you guys. I was riding the waves of, like, you know, when she was doing cool, badass shit. But, like, I agree, man. Like, Echo... I like Tazia as an actor. She's great. She's a great human. If you follow her on anything, she's awesome. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, I just really never grew attached to Echo.
I actually, like, I still think that Echo as a character, I like. I just think that she's not Binge Crew because doing my rewatch, I just don't see all the choices she's made.
Have been against Binge Crew.
Like, literally. Give me anything besides when she was saving her own ass where she helped Binge
Crew. I just, my whole mind space on that was that they just spent all that time in the arc, so I just figured after all that time, she is now
Benjamin. But that's the thing, you freaking show us our broship of Kellamy,
yeah,
but not enough of Echo and Bellamy and them on the ring to give us that, to make us say, "Oh, you give me one episode in the last two seasons that to show us some more of the relationship."
Yeah, especially last season.
And honestly, they did that with Bellamy in pretty much all of his relationships. Remember with Gina Martin?
Yeah.
I think that was her name. Like, we didn't get anything there either.
Yeah.
And that was, like, a huge emotional impact
and
on
how'd
him.
She die? Echo blew her up.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so true. My God.
Oh, man.
All right. So, speaking of weird loves, Bellamy now walks over to our boy Bill Christ, and gets on his knees and says, "My shepherd."
Yep.
And then this cocksmack looks him in the eye and says, "Call me Bill."
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But for, like, the sixth time this season, which I love.
I hate
"Call me Bill."
That they put that line there because I love the line. I hate that Bellamy's on his knees though.
Yeah. So
I mean, that's just the full buy-in. I mean, if you didn't know it by the rope pool, you know it now.
Loved Bill's reaction.
Are you throwing shade at me right now?
I'm looking right at you.
You throwing shade at me?
I loved Bill's reaction to this, though, because, like, he is, if it's not part of a plan, whatever, he is genuinely hyped that those two survived. He's like, oh, you guys went through Etheria. Like, tell me, I want to know everything. Like, he's like extremely happy about it.
That's a Gabriel line right there.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it felt like, honestly. But then he says, but first, your friends are here and I'm afraid they've gotten themselves into some trouble. And this is where we get the transition to Gabriel munching on something, right? Like, he's eating, walking around.
He's got a little bowl of
Cybol.
Yeah.
Something, whatever.
Yeah. And they're living the high life.
Yeah, I mean, living the dream.
We found out in the very first scene with Levitt that they basically have been given the keys to Bill's quarters, and we already saw this earlier in the season where Gabriel and Bill were having lunch here. Who do we have in the room? We have Echo, Octavia, Clark, and
Gabriel.
And Gabriel.
Gabriel.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Just those four. Yeah. So Bill walks in. Oh, no, sorry. Clark is having the conversation,
right.
The plan to basically say, like, all right, I'm going to get you guys back to Sanctum. And when they put you through the portal, I'm going to stand in front of the stone, basically do nothing because I don't have the flame, give up all of our leverage, but we're going to get you all safe.
Classic Clark.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's kind of what last episode I asked if that was her plan anyway. Like, I couldn't remember she already had said that. So it's definitely classic Clark.
And that feels natural. That's her character. That's all fine. And then as soon as they basically are, before they even discuss that, Bill opens the door, walks in with like four suited disciples, and then Clark starts trying to say the plan, like, send my friends back, well, and I'll do this, and then Bellamy walks in. And I had, even though I already knew he was like whatever, like in terms of he's a shepherd disciple now, I had so much chills. Like, I was just like, wow, this is fucking awesome.
Mm.
They take a second to go to every single character's face. And just like their reaction is just, it felt good.
Yeah.
It was a great reunion.
It was.
We've had some somewhat questionable ones. This was a very good one.
Yes.
So absolutely. We had Clark wanted to step forward. We had Octavia try to step forward. They put guns up. And
yeah,
Echo was like frozen, I guess. She didn't move.
She did not believe that it was happening.
Well,
right.
She almost just killed thousands of people for him. So.
Yeah.
And doesn't Bill mention the key first, because that's what prompts Clark to, when she goes up to hug him.
Yeah, because Clark goes to hug him, and then they stop Octavia from hugging him, and then Clark goes to do it, and he says, no, she's got the key.
Right.
Don't shoot her.
But also, I mean, that's when Octavia drops the line, can't keep the Blakes down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so after, you know, don't shoot Clark, she has the key, and she starts hugging Bellamy. She just divulges the whole thing right away. Says, like, they think the key is the flame. They think it's in my head. Don't say anything.
Right.
Right when she did this, I said out loud, oh, no.
Yeah.
Right. But the more I first heard that, and I was like, what the, like, it's just, you shouldn't be saying the plan so close to Bill anyway. But the more I thought about it, it's fine, because if this scene didn't go that way and, like, you know, it was peaceful, whatever, they walk away, eventually Bellamy, like in the next day or so, would have found out that the key was the flame and would have said it anyway. So for dramatic purposes, they obviously did it in this way.
And we,
so I'm not
so
here for any complaints about that.
Left.
Exactly. I'm not here for any complaints about that. That's fine.
Their
that
face
fine.
Is when he says, my shepherd. Oh, yeah.
Now let's that. Okay. I have complaints about that part, though, because, like, is this going to lead to either Bellamy is going to have to get convinced that he has to be with Binge Crew again, which is going to be, that's the worst possible outcome, where he says he's the shepherd, he's on Team Shepherd, and then they convince him back to their side and he's good, happily ever after. That's the worst ending I could ever think of. So more likely, I think, either he's going to take the villain route and we're going to have to kill Bellamy.
Woo!
Spicy
take.
That's a hot take.
What else is there?
What other options are there? The way it is right now, in the words of Kathleen, fellow Bingetown member, is, I mean, you're either Binge Crew or you're the enemy of Binge Crew.
And
so how the hell is he going to become back to Binge Crew?
I'm not going to buy it. I'm not.
But my take is also that we talked about last episode that someone's going to take the test.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to buy in at least to that part of the disciple mantra of, like, we have to take the test to try to transcend, right?
Well, yeah. I think the test is out the window, because now everyone's on the same page that there's no way to take the test. The key, the flame is destroyed.
They're going to figure it out.
I think the sad thing is we see in the teaser that Clark goes in MCAT. I think the sad realization is going to be that they did this to Bellamy to brainwash him for literally one episode to get Clark on MCAT, because right now no one else could divulge that information. And then I mean, I think that the MCAP will lead to them finding out about Maddie's drawings and then them finally going to Sanctum to get Maddie, because that's where they know at least the broken flame is, and that's where Maddie is.
I like that.
But it's going to – I mean, it's just – again, this is why we're talking about this being a whole episode, because, you know, I agree with this, and I've read that people think that, you know, Doran Clark's MCAP, our boy Levitt, baby – and is going to be kind of on their side helping them unbrainwash Bellamy. But at the same time, he's going to see in the MCAP her, the calls that she made to him for all those years while he was up in space. And that's going to unbrainwash him. You know, ooh, like that's going like to get that. Him back
is
on
that
the
good enough, though?
But no, like, but what I'm saying is,
I fucking hope so.
But what I'm saying is,
oh, I thought you meant good enough to unbrainwash.
No, no, that,
it probably is going to be that if he does go the unbrainwash route, but it's just like, it just feels like that was just filler.
Well, I'm a little confused by what you're saying, only because you're saying that the whole plan was to brainwash Bellamy to get Clark into MCAP?
The writer's plan.
Ah,
I'm saying, like, the writers needed someone to turn on Clark and to make it be a big series, like, holy shit moment.
Okay.
So they turn Bellamy, and they turn him right back, which, like you're saying, five episodes left. You just spent a whole episode to prove to us why he needs to be brainwashed, which is fine, but at the same time, five episodes left, and he's going to get unbrainwashed next episode. Seems like filler. Seems like you could do it another way if you really wanted to.
That's my biggest issue with the episode, is that the episode, like you said in the beginning, Luke, in a vacuum, nice episode.
It works.
But we're at the end.
Yeah.
You know, we're racing towards the finish line. And we even said it, I believe Kathleen at least said it last episode, we don't have time for a solo episode. A solo Bellamy episode. And we got one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man, and it's all conjecture at this point, but it's just like, I don't want them to just convince him to be back on Team Binge Crew by next episode, by the end of next episode. That seems really weak.
I'm going to drop, I don't even know if it's a hot take, but I said to Luke, I'm just going to drop my thing here saying that I think the end game now is going to be cheesy, where Clark and Bellamy take the test together, the head and the heart.
Oh, bro.
See, I don't like that just because I feel like that defeats the whole purpose of the one person take the test, and that's not fun for theory.
I know they're always against going by the rules, you know. Yeah. I mean, why can't they have the white light show up and just be both standing there and get sucked in or whatever? I mean, I'm not saying I like it. I'm just a little scared
dude,
that's going to be
Becca
the end game.
And Gabriel, and we win then.
Yeah,
we're going to send two. Yeah. Send those motherfuckers.
I mean, if they're going to take the test and they don't have the key, Raven's going to figure it out.
I mean, I really still think Maddie's going to have. I mean, also, Shade Hata was a virus of the flame. He was part of the code. I feel like he might have something.
Yeah. But I mean, now, like, I want Raven. I would need some big Raven moments.
Yeah. I mean,
what can Raven do that? I mean, Raven did have the remnants of going to the City of Light. So there's something there that can maybe help. But, like, what can Raven do that Gabriel can't?
She can code, baby.
And also,
Gabriel.
You have to think about the fact that do Clark and them even care about the test right now? Like, do they even want to take it?
Oh, I doubt it.
So it has to be only the disciples who are trying to get. That's why I'm saying they'll have to capture Maddie. I'm not saying she'll be an MCAP, because maybe they'll stop it before that happens. But I think that's why they'll go to Sanctum to get Maddie. And I also think that we'll see a little Lexa and Clark's MCAP next step.
All right, I'm down.
It's fine, I was bringing this up before. Yeah. I was like, I don't see any benefit of bringing Lexa back up besides just nostalgia, and it would be dope for us.
Yeah.
But like, it's not going to – what's she going to add to anything that matters for Endgame?
I agree.
The answer is nothing. So, all right.
Fan
let's,
service?
So there's – yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I do agree
which
with
I'm
your
fine
point,
with. I love fan service.
Though that Binge Crew has no reason to take the test.
Right.
Like, they have no incentive for them to be like, okay, let's go for this transcendence thing. Because they
just
kind of want
to
kick it with each other, yeah.
If anything, they would want to not go through it, because they know what happens when you go through the goddamn stone and it just shoots you to random places. Like, they would be like, no, unless we're all doing this together,
Why?
Imagine they all do it. Like, all of the rest that survive. I was
thinking that maybe, like, the original 100 who's left go through, you know, I don't know.
All right, that's fine. Let's table that, because, you know, we're going to have plenty of time to talk about the test once we get a little bit more information. We kind of already gave our predictions last episode. So let's do it. Let's go through how this whole entire episode can be saved by it being not what we thought on not what we're seeing at surface value.
Right.
So, yeah, surface level.
So last episode, I went through 5 minutes of it about why I thought Echo was not a spy and was actually a disciple, and I was wrong. And Kyle gave me a little bit of a 5 second.
Just a little slice of humble pie.
Yeah. So
we're the king of tangents.
Take everything I'm saying with a grain of salt here. So, all right. So we know that, and you guys just jump in whenever you got anything. So we know that Bellamy, from the very start of episode one, was being taken for a reason. Okay. They weren't going for anybody else. Okay. So we know that.
So we're going to look at this whole thing through the lens of it is planned from the beginning of the season.
Right. I'm going to try to go through each thing and say why I think there's some kind of a scenario.
Sure.
So we know that via Levitt and via Octavia that they did the MCAP and they have finished up to season three or up to season four. So the season finale of three. And I actually went on record in one of these pods saying that I could have seen at that end finale Bell arc, you know, like that's where it shows that to me was the strongest moment where I thought they were like they could have been romantically like linked. So I think that they do this whole MCAP, they see that Octavia's weakness is Bellamy, we know that, and they see that Clark's weakness is Bellamy, so let's take Bellamy, and if we can get someone to brainwash, why wouldn't we brainwash Bellamy to get them to control the whole situation? Everything that Bill always does, whether it's just the Second Dawn cult as a cult or, you know, through any of this stuff, it's always manipulation. There is anything he says, anything he does, it's always manipulation. So if he can turn Bellamy, that's just total. So he's taken. He goes through the anomaly. We know that Anders. Now, I think the plan was set up via Anders and the conductor and who else. So obviously, Bill wasn't a part of the plan because he kind of showed up when Clark showed up. I think it was kind of a plan before Bill showed up, so, but then he just jumps in when it's time.
And this already has legs to stand on, because why did they care so much about getting Bellamy in the very beginning of the season?
Yeah. I honestly almost forgot that that was a thing.
Yeah.
Because it happens, and then so much happens, especially without Bellamy, between that and now that, yeah.
And devil's advocate, obviously you can just chalk it up to they had to figure out a way to give Bob Morley time.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know, that could be a reason of why they had to get him out early, but you know, this also plays into the overall theme of what this episode did for us. But
and the time dilation makes it very confusing.
Yeah. So then we have the whole situation where Bellamy's finally through and he's in Bardo and he says, you know, send us back, whatever. And Anders doesn't set the switch or set the stone to Sanctum. He sets it to Etheria for whatever reason. Okay. So bomb goes off, they go through the anomaly, now they're in Etheria, okay? I don't really think there's much manipulation in the very beginning except for the fact that, you know, now there's time for Bellamy to read the passages. I don't really know what else there could be at that point. You know, he helps the guy, you need two people, it just establishes the point that he can't do it by himself. He needs to have faith in someone or something. First thing we already talked about is he goes up. They're going up, and after the conductor gets to the top, he waits for a while and then throws the rope down, and he says, got to have some faith. So it's just kind of like putting a little, planting the little seeds.
Subtle,
you know?
Propaganda, subtle brainwashing, all that.
So now they're walking through, and the snow's going, and the conductor's trying to be like the quote-unquote good guy and say, listen, we need to live here. We need to go back. We need to find the Cave of Transcendence, right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the ascent, the Cave of Ascent.
Ascent?
I believe it's Ascent.
Okay.
I actually have it written as Ascent and Transcendence.
Cave of Ascent, where the species transcends.
Right. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So,
side note, I was terrible at spelling Ascent throughout these notes. That and Shepard were giving
me
Transcendence.
How many different ways are they?
They were giving me fits.
Yeah, so he says, let's go back. Bellamy says, no, I'm going to keep going, okay? So now Bellamy doesn't make it, which, if this is a setup, they know he won't make it. He's passed out. The conductor's there to grab him, pulls him back, snugs him up in the cave, and Bellamy wakes up going, oh, man, you saved me, okay? So that's like, you know, you saved me. There you go. Then we have, you know, the whole scene with the people that transcend, the things that transcended.
Yeah, he sees the light.
I mean, if this is, like, I don't know if I'm okay with this whole cave thing being real. Any of it, if I like the show, like, to be honest,
like, real quick, let me comment on that. whenever you think of like the end of like an epic show or epic tale, like Game of Thrones or The 100, anything like along those lines, when you're thinking about the end and like what it's going to be, the buildup is mostly, is usually better than what it becomes, especially when it comes to sci-fi things. It's really hard to pull off stuff like that. And honestly, I was almost okay with saying, like, if the transcendent is real and you pass Judgment Day, you actually as a species transcend, and like that's the remnant of it, I was almost okay with it. I see you're saying the exact opposite, but I was just like, if they have to do a way for a species to transcend, I was almost like, that's fine.
Yeah, it's not horrible.
It's not horrible.
So it's okay.
Exactly.
I will definitely say that I'm okay with the first part. I'm not okay with the Vision at all.
Okay.
The fact that
Vision is so confusing.
The fact that Bill's in the Vision is just makes it ridiculous to me, because he's seeing Bill in a picture. Why would Bill show up in his disciple stuff? Okay. Why and how does he get a vision from just sitting there and breathing in front of the fire for 2 seconds? Okay. Yeah. But if he has that vision, now we're talking actual kind of religious, like, supernatural stuff. Now, we know this is sci-fi, that's fine, but I'm saying, like, if this is real, we're saying that Bellamy really had that vision, and now I don't like the show if that's the truth.
Yeah, because
everything that we've seen of Bill.
Yeah, the comment that I had said earlier is that Bill's not a god. The whole point is that Bill is a human.
And he's literally a con man.
He's like, I'm not a god, I don't even believe in God. I know I'm chosen, but I'm not.
There's no way that should be a controlled vision, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Bill.
Yeah. If it's a plan, how the hell does that part of the plan, A, get brought up, and B, fine-tuned?
Right, because if we know what we think we know, Bill has no quote-unquote powers. Yeah. He is not a religious figure. He's a con man. So either it's, cult leader, whatever.
And I'm really scared that we're talking about it like this, because it's either this, what you're saying is a hold some water, and this could be a theory that makes the show excellent, or it's not, and oh god, the writing of the show just fucking collapses on itself, and we say
there's been plenty
this show
of
sucks.
Yeah,
Game of Thrones, baby.
We've had plenty of shows.
I'd rather die.
Yeah, we've had plenty of shows where you just like get so into it, and we talked about this on the pod about other stuff. You get so into it, you get all these theories, and you have all this shit that makes sense, and then all of a sudden it's like they just go like the vanilla, quick, easy way out, and you're just like, holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, I spent, 2 to 3, 4 hours a week Game of Thrones writing emails and recaps and shit, and they just put a stake in my heart at the end.
Especially with the year break, and was it 2 years or a year? Whatever the break was.
It was a year and a half, 2 years.
The fact that we had that break to just talk and talk and talk and theorize, and to this day, I still think a lot of it's right for the books.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. It's
that's
like
a whole separate
you
podcast.
Sit there and you're like, man, like we got it, or like this makes sense, whatever. And
that's what's freaking me out, because if we get to the end of the show and none of that vision stuff's explained, it's just like, okay, that was just not just shitty writing. It's just like the plot holes just kind of start building on himself. Like, it's going to lead to more plot holes, and it's like, why'd that happen because of this and this? It just doesn't make sense.
It's very hard to sweep that under the rug.
Exactly.
It's even like the whole Shepherd, like, I understand that even like that the conductor is following the book and he's trying to literally follow the same footsteps that Bill took, whether it's real or not. But like the fact that even just the fact that they're going through all these and nothing wrong is happening, like everything is going the way that should go for Bellamy to buy in. And, like, I guess it's fine. Like, they're in a cave and this picture stayed, but like the picture's there, and they sit by the fire and he gets the vision.
The
and
snowstorm stops.
As soon as the vision's done, boom, the snowstorm. Like, that's the other thing. It's like, if that's not a simulation or some kind of setup, then again, you're saying there's some kind of power by the vision. Like, you're saying, like, Bellamy has a vision. He finally, maybe I'm starting to buy in. I see Bill. Boom. Now we can keep going.
And that goes against everything from every season of The 100.
Like, even the transcendent beings, like, no matter what we say, The 100 sci-fi, so I don't care. They can do anything they want. But, I mean, I don't even think they really fit with The 100 scenarios, like, plots throughout the 7 seasons. I mean, we never really had other beings, even though they could do it if they wanted, because it's the end game. But
the flame connecting them is pretty good. But you're right, like, there's a lot that they're just reaching at just to make it an epic last season,
right?
Yeah.
So
and
then
I mean, the imprints of energy, which are the beings that have transcended, the conductor is legitimately upset that Bellamy doesn't buy it at that point.
Yeah, but if he's in, Like, if he's in on it, like, if the thing is a setup, the conductor's in on it. So everything he's doing is playing a part.
Yeah. I think there's a chance that that was supposed to be the final step.
Oh, so you think, okay.
But then the whole rope thing happened, and that happened organically, and he was like, oh, I'm going to die. Fuck it.
But that, and I also brought that up.
And then he buys in and chants the prayer, and he's like, oh.
Yeah, no, no. I brought that up when Jimmy was telling me this before the podcast, and I said, okay, what does that mean? Like, did that would have what that rope part meant when they were climbing and he almost falls means is that the conductor was truly ready to die anyway. He thought, like, I'm dead. He did not think he was going to live. And that's fine because that still fits in with him caring about convincing Bellamy for the species.
Well, he's the conductor of the trip.
Yeah, that's fine.
Right. So, disciples, you know, the end game is his mission, if it's the mission that we think it is to get Bellamy to become a disciple. It's to get him to buy in. So his mission is over, and he does this for everyone, for all mankind. So he doesn't have, like, when he's saying, like, my mission's, like, I'll die right here. I don't care. It doesn't matter because I did what I needed to do, you know, and that's where, you know, before we talked about before, right before they go up, Bellamy is the one who says, have faith. That is just the, you know, now that's just him growing into what they're trying to make him be. And then, I mean, I kind of thought that, like, again, only if it's a simulation. If it's not a simulation, then the rope thing's got to be real.
Yeah. Also, the whole point of the disciples is that the individual doesn't matter.
Right.
And the conductor does say, I have a greater purpose for all mankind. And what would be the point of him giving Bellamy the stone key or the code and the book and everything to, like, ensure 100% that Bellamy can get off the planet? Because if you're going off the disciple mindset, if the two of them die on the planet, it doesn't matter.
Nothing matters. The whole theory holds weight with the conductor, at least, if, like, that's his whole goal, is just to get Bellamy back to the people brainwashed.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Shit.
Yeah, so then we get to the stone, and again, I already said this, conveniently, it's a leap of faith that you have to literally take a leap of faith into the anomaly bridge, whatever, and conductor goes first, Bellamy takes the leap, okay? They get through, and guess who's just waiting in that room, in the stone room? Bill, right away. Like, it's not like Bellamy shows up and they're like, let's go get Bill. He's just standing there waiting.
That's a good point.
And I really just can't explain how it can be a simulation fully. I just can't. Like,
yeah,
I've been trying.
And it shouldn't be explainable even if it is that.
But we know that if you plant someone in the simulation, then they just are literally planted in. So Bill could have been planted into the vision, and he could have been planted in at the end, even if the end's not real, even if the end is just part of the simulation.
But
how do they get him out of it?
The problem I have is that obviously, the guy in MCAP in the beginning of the episode has a memory of the beginning part when he gets sucked into the anomaly. So that part is real. So, like, is Ethereum, like, more advanced than we realize? And there's, like, a simulation place like Westworld where they just have different, like, offices to do things in that area. Like, I mean, the other thing that I read were that the disciples were there invisible at times helping push along the right path.
Damn, son.
Totally possible.
I mean,
I hate it, but possible.
There's like another. There's things where you notice the camera angles looked like someone was watching them a couple times from different angles. They were like, it looked like more like a top right angle looking down. Like,
see,
that's
lens classic people looking too into it. Even if it turns out to be a simulation, all that stuff. Like, I don't even think they're gonna be like, yeah, we were watching the whole time like that.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I would say that it's only that if it's not a simulation, if someone's just watching them to make sure that it's going the right way. But again, dude, it could be so. I could just talk for 10 minutes.
Yeah,
and,
I was just
and
gonna
then
say.
And then next week you're gonna say, bro,
it was all wrong. Yeah. Yeah, then you get another slice.
No,
yeah,
it's another story on our Instagram. Making fun of me.
Everything you brought up is convincing. Like, I didn't look too far into that before we started talking about the podcast, before we did it. So, like, everything you're saying stands with me. Like, I like it. I like it better than it being real. I'm scared that I think it's just going to be, they're going to chalk it up to just writing.
Well, multiple times this season, we've been worried about things and they've saved it for us. So I'm going to have faith.
Have faith for all mankind.
All right. Yeah, I have one more quick thing we need to talk about before Ben Kilmeri and we can get out of here.
Yep.
We have to talk about now Gaia.
Yeah.
So obviously Gaia getting pulled in from Sanctum, which happened in like the fourth episode or something like that, she was on Sanctum and gets pulled into the anomaly with someone in a disciple suit. The whole fandom was pretty much on the same page that the leading theory was that it was Bellamy,
right,
somehow. And we thought we were going to work our way to that. But obviously, that's not the case. That cannot be the case anymore.
I mean, I think we figured that out. No, I guess this is now fully planted, but I was off that a couple episodes ago when he showed up.
But, so I have two running theories. I have two running theories of what this could be with Gaia, and one I hate and one I'm fine with. And the one I hate is way more likely. The one I hate is Gaia is going to pop up in like the last one or two episodes and do something incredibly pivotal that has to deal with like the flame and Maddie or something, and say, you know, like, or else what's the point of her?
She is the last flame keeper, right?
Yeah,
correct. So it's gonna be something like that. That's more likely, and something I would not be okay with. That just seems like lazy, whatever. Her actor didn't want to be on the show that much because she was doing other shit.
Sabrina.
Do a better job of writing her character and not making her, you know, whatever. And the second one, which is the way more fun, way less likely, which you kind of, Jimmy, brought to my attention. I also saw something a little bit on it, but the idea is that the anomaly stone that she went through took her to Earth.
And at this time,
how is that possible?
Well, because of time dilation for
Earth. It was already open to go to the cemetery planet or whatever, was it not?
Because
Clark and the squad go through there, and it's still open, and then Gaia and the person go through. They don't hit like another code.
Well, I mean, you can just do it on your helmet, I thought.
Yeah, the helmet, because he had a disciple helmet. Exactly. Raven's done it where she just like selects it.
That was the sound of me agreeing.
Well, actually, you select it on the helmet and then it tells you the code.
Whatever.
So,
that's
the
sound of me disagreeing.
Yeah.
I have to look back at the scene to really remember, to be honest. But another part of the whole theory is that because Earth is so much farther away from the black hole, like the time dilation for Earth would be like seconds on Sanctum would be like a lot of fucking time on Earth.
So basically the deal is that Earth would be regrown by now.
So much time would have passed.
And if Gaia went to Earth, she's dead, because she would have like...
Now, yeah.
People think like, okay, the disciple and Gaia could be Adam and Eve and rebrand, and you know...
Gaia means Earth.
Oh,
and like, so like titties. She could be the beginning restart of the new civilization on Earth, which
that's
is
the sound of me jumping on the
that's
bandwagon.
What I'm saying. And, like, that would be awesome, but it seems very unlikely.
Yeah, and if Earth is reborn, then I would say Endgame would be going back to Earth.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And we've mentioned that before, and I believe that I said that would be my ideal ending, was that they go back to Earth.
My whole issue with that, though, what I instantly think of is, so they already are on Sanctum and stuff, meaning like if there's a crazy time dilation, so much time has already passed on Earth that when they're looking at it and Raven's looking at it, it's still offline. So unless like it just came back online in terms of Sanctum,
yeah,
like it wouldn't really make sense.
There was something that came up online about the fact that in one of the beginning scenes, opening sequences in last episode, Earth was different than what it usually looks like in its... No, and it was actually noticeably...
Oh, no,
like,
I'm saying that's crazy.
Like, darkened, like it's offline, and back online.
Okay. That's like some Game of Thrones shit.
Yeah,
like,
but like,
armies around.
Again, are we thinking too much into this? I mean, we're podcasters.
I mean,
that's
dude, why
job,
not?
Well, what are the other alternatives that you could even think about for what Gaia means
to the story? She can't go back to Sanctum because they would have known she's back in Sanctum unless she's just like hide in the forest with the disciple.
Dumb.
Can't go to Bardo because she'd be in prison, or she, you know, we know that.
That would
can't,
be dumb too.
I mean, penance is another option that she's just, and then she's just going to be really old and die.
Yeah, and then Nakara, but how is she still on Nakara at this point?
Don't see the purpose of that either.
She has someone who has a helmet and the knowledge.
Yeah, so... I just don't see it unless it's Earth, like, honestly. Unless they're just like, hey, you wanted to go to Sabrina? We don't care about you. You're off the show.
They had their option, I mean, the chance to put her on Etheria in the last episode. She could have been there, older. She could have been, like, in the cave and Bellamy sees her.
Yeah.
Like, that could have been a thing, but that's off the table now.
The other thing that I guess we should bring up really quick before Ben kill Mary is the fact that
fans are dying with anticipation.
I know.
Ben kill Mary.
They love Ben kill Mary. Now, Etheria... When Bellamy goes to Etheria, when he goes back to Bardo, he never loses memory, either way. So that means they're either on the same equidistant to the black hole or simulation. Don't know.
True. And also, it's so if it is real, That means that Nakara, Etheria, and Bardo are on all on the exact same time dilation, because we have seen now in multiple cases people going back and forth without helmets, meaning and none of them lost their memory. Right. So all three of those are on the same exact time path, meaning no time, no super aging.
And it just makes it easier for literally everyone involved.
If you want to say it, then that's fine. I'm just saying that that's what we got to think about.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
So we've done the whole episode recap. We've had some really nice theorizing, some
end game talk, some Gaia talks.
Well, when the parents are gone, B-Toms and Kathleen, the kids get to play a little past the bedtime.
Baby, tangents, love it.
Start selling me or Kellamy. I don't even know what it's called now.
Jimmy, the OG Kellamy stand.
So what about Bouchette? Because his name's Duchette.
Okay. I thought you were bringing up another character that we haven't talked about. I was like, are we doing it again?
Yeah.
All right. So, Ben Kilmary. Our theme for this week is going to be disciples that our heroes have spent time with. Mm-hmm. So, we have Orlando, who was the disciple that basically taught Gabriel, Echo, and
Hope.
We have Dev, who was basically the father to Hope. And then we have the conductor who spent this time with Bellamy. So what do you guys think? Orlando, Dev, and the conductor.
I'm going to step in and go first.
Okay, you go first.
I'm going to marry Dev. Dev seems like a good man. He basically just, he didn't really have much of a choice, but he basically just adopted Hope. Seems like we would have a good time. He could teach me to throw some knives. We'd have a little gardening. He just seems like a very, very good man.
Yeah.
I'm going to bang the conductor. Because now that's my boy. And if he really is where the conductor in the sense that we say is, we could probably go on, have a nice night on some psychedelics. Yeah, who knows? I don't know what this guy's got up his sleeve and his inside of his coat jacket. He's just pulling out psychedelic fucking moss and bugs. And then I'm going to kill Orlando.
We talked about this before in a few of our episodes, the fact that, like, Second Dawn disciples are, like, the villains, quote-unquote. But, like, all three of those I like. And they're technically, like, besides the fact that Bill's the villain, their ideals are okay. You know, they're not like...
Plus Levitt, too. He's a beast.
Yeah, like, Levitt's our boy. Like, I'm not, like, you know, like, without Bill being Bill and as part of that whole thing, maybe they wouldn't be our villain. You know what I mean? But, because I'm actually sitting here, Ben Kilmary, and I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, we talked about it in the early season of... I think I was the one that mentioned it. Like, they have to do something that's going to make us hate the disciples.
Yeah.
And I think B-Toms chimed in from across the table. It was like, I don't know.
Yeah. So I am going. Gosh, man. All right. I'm going to marry. I'm going to go a little bit different here. I'm going to marry Orlando because I want him to turn me into a badass. Like, and, you know, he. And this is actually not the route I thought I was going to go, because I thought I was going to get a little snuggly with the conductor. But I'll bang the conductor because I will get snuggly with him because he'll take care of me. And Dev, sadly, I'm a little upset, but I'm going to have to kill him.
Hot boy Dev.
I hate going last in these because your answer is always taken. And I'm taking the same exact answer as Kyle, but maybe for some different reasons. I don't know. I'm going to marry Dev as well. And for the reason being that I thought he felt like the most... He could have been dropped in the story in the first season and felt like he would have fit in with our characters and been Binge Crew the whole time. Like, he was like, he had the most redeeming qualities. It seemed like he actually cared for Hope, like, genuinely and stuff like that. So I'm all in. I thought Dev was awesome. So I would marry Dev. Didn't get enough of him. So marry Dev. I'm going to bang the conductor because I'm all about the psychedelics.
that sounds
dope. And, you know, I'll let him spin me some tails while we're pillow talking. And then I'm going to kill Orlando because he's the oldest and I don't have much to say.
You don't want
to
really be banging him.
Yeah, I'm okay.
All right.
All right. Yeah. So that is all she wrote. So if you like what you heard and you've made it this far through all of our tangents and discussions, A, we appreciate you. B, we love you. And C, we have a little bit of a nice spicy nugget for you. So you've heard our Chad Rook interview. Hopefully you've definitely heard our Levitt interview. So we got a little something special coming down the pipeline. So just keep your eyes and ears peeled for that. That's all I can say at this moment, but a little treat for you making this far.
Follow us on Bingetown TV, social media.
Find us on Twitter, Instagram at Bingetown TV. You can obviously find our podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcast. Like I mentioned, earlier in the podcast. If you're missing B-Tom's or Kathleen's voices, or you want to get to know Paul and Dave, the other members of Bingetown, definitely check out our Spartacus and Cursed podcasts. And that's it.